Ramsey TV.
God rouses people from the dead. That's what he does. And that's his thing. He just hasn't done it lately, which might tend to sour our confidence in him that he can. Oh, but he can do it. Believe me, he can do it. This is Martin Sender coming to you, happy to be doing so from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we get down there, verse 9, Paul says, and Paul was going through many trials at this time, heralding the evangel, trying to get to as many people as possible. Yeah, he was a numbers guy, just because he wanted more people to hear it. He wasn't a numbers guy in order to indulge his flesh, because as we're going to see in this passage, then I'm going to go to Romans 8, we have no confidence in the flesh, but we want people to know what we know. Paul says, we have the rescript of death in ourselves. Rescript, that means it's a fancy concordant word. We have the sentence of death. It's like death is operating in us. As I've been telling you, that we may be having no confidence in ourselves, but in God who rouses the dead. No confidence in ourselves. Yesterday, I told you that there's nothing we can do to get ourselves out of death. That is a divine operation outside of ourselves. And I said that sin is the same way, because sin and death are related. But here's a God who rouses the dead. That's what he does. It might even be on his business card. I rouse the dead. That would be one hell of a resume entry, I would think. I would put it on my business card. What do you do, Martin Sender? I rouse the dead. Haven't done it lately. I'm just playing it cool. But I do have a big plan to rouse everyone. But first, my best friends, members of the body of Christ, God who rouses the dead, who rescues us from a death of such proportions and will be rescuing us. What does he mean by that? Who rescues us from a death of such proportions? As I told you yesterday, we are currently free from the law of sin and death, because we are under another law, the law of life in Christ Jesus. It's funny that Paul calls it a law, the law of life in Christ Jesus, as I quoted you yesterday from earlier in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be going later in Romans chapter 8, but the law of life in Christ Jesus, a law is, whenever we hear the word law, we think of a bad thing. Oh, that's a law. I don't want to follow the law. I sometimes break the law. Law, law. It always seems bad to us. And the law of sin and death, for sure, it's bad. But Paul also uses the word law to describe the law of life in Christ Jesus, because this is just as immutable. This is just as enforced. How about that? The law of life in Christ Jesus is enforced. We don't like to hear that the law is the Prince's Law of Moses tells us what we can do, what we can't do. Not us, but Israel. We don't like any law telling us what we have to do, what we must do, or else. But now we have a law of life that we should be happy to hear the word law associated with life, because God is going to enforce the law of life in Christ Jesus, that we are delivered from worry, from fear, from obsession, from OCDing over our behavior. So here's a God who rouses the dead and saves us, Paul says, from a death of such proportions. What is the death of such proportions? Well, it's not only the death that we face every day, the death that's coursing through our veins and arteries at this time, and yes, our capillaries. In Paul's case, it was also the death, you know, that lurked around the corner because of his heralding, but it's also that death that apart from Christ would threaten to take us into lights out forever. Lights out forever. God rescues us from that, on whom we are relying that he will still be rescuing also. He will still be rescuing also. So not only does he rescue us from this current fear of death, from the current obsession with sin and death, but he will also rescue us big time soon, in that we're finally going to be delivered from these bodies, going to get to that. But listen to this. And Paul says to the Corinthians, and you also assisting together, by a petition for us, in order that from many faces he may be thanked by many for us, for the gracious gift given to us. Many faces. I think of you. I think of you in that phrase, many faces. There are many faces out there, many people who keep this work going. I want to take a moment. I don't do this often, but I need to take a moment to thank all of you who have supported this work, because the only way I keep going is by your support of this work. I don't make any money off book sales. That goes back into the company. So the only way I keep going is by your contributing. This is a grassroots operation. I mention this not very often, but I am so grateful. I'm so thankful for every one of you. And I'm not that good these days at sending out formal thank yous. So I take this opportunity to corporately thank all of you who have contributed to this work. And as I say, and I've said before, I will say it again, you're backing the right horse. I mean, I think it's important for you to know this. I don't say this to be self-indulgent. Like, well, you're putting your money on the right horse because things are happening. Like, you know, Paul says he wants to herald to as many as possible. He wants to bring as many as possible into the truth. Who doesn't? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't that be our goal? Why do you think Paul went to Mars Hill and announced the message to see who he could get? On this little YouTube channel, there are 45 and 55 new subscribers every month. I don't know how that happens. I don't, and I'm not kidding you, because I don't promote it. I do nothing to advertise it. I hate marketing. I don't know how to market. It's all I can do to put out the content. So this is a miracle of God. And this is not just some random month where I get 50 new subscribers. I've gotten 50 new subscribers every single month for over a year. I don't know. I swear to you, I don't know how it happens, but I know how I keep going. I keep going because of you. I keep going because of you. And again, these numbers are staring me in the face every day because I upload my video on YouTube every day. So I'm telling you these numbers so that you know that the support you give to me isn't going for naught. If you look at the views, and I'm not married to the views. I would do this if I had 2 subscribers. And that's a fact, because I love this truth. I can't stop talking about it. It's my sanity. It keeps me sane every day. Just like listening to it keeps you sane. Well, doing it keeps me sane. And even when I listen to it, it also helps. But you need to know that things are happening. So the total number of views for all the videos is now at 1.8 million. I have 1.8 million views on this channel. It took me like 6 or 7 years to get to 1 million, and now it's only been 2 years to get to the second million. Again, these are astounding numbers to me. I don't know how it's happening. I just throw this stuff out there, and it takes on a life of its own. I kind of like it that way. I hate promoting. I hate it. I don't know how to do it. I hate marketing. Don't know how to do it. I put out the call many years. If somebody really knows how to market and they want to get this stuff out, please let me do it. Tell me how to do it. Nobody stepped up, which I'm glad of, actually, because it stays pure. And somebody says, are your videos monetized on YouTube? For one thing, I don't have enough views to get my videos monetized on YouTube. And even if I could, I wouldn't, because to me, that's dirty money. That's dirty money. I don't want any advertisements on my videos. I don't want anything. No commerciality about it whatsoever. I hate it. Hate it. Don't want it. Even if I could, I wouldn't. I love this. I love the free flow. I love that you're not under any compulsion to help this work, but God puts it on your heart, and you've been doing it, and I thank all of you. You know who you are, but the ones who can't do it, don't worry about it. Just suck it up. Love the information. Watch it every day. It's okay. I don't mind. God puts it on enough hearts and enough souls to say, hey, maybe Martin needs some help. Da-ding, ba-da-ding on that. And again, I don't do this very often because it seems self-indulgent, but you need to know this. You need to know that you're backing the right horse. And I am a horse. Just, yeah. I'm just a workhorse. I'm just doing the job. That's it. I got this wonderful letter. I'm going to read this and I'm going to go to Romans 8, okay? But just indulge me if you would. I think you're going to be edified by this. This is from, I could read you letters like this every day, but I don't. Because again, it seems self-indulgent. It's hard for me to do it right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is from a viewer in Australia. She says, thank you so much, Martin, for keeping us focused. I love every word of this email. This is short. Thank you for indulging me. This is for you. I'm doing this for you. Okay? Because again, I could do this every day, but that would be ridiculous. Thank you so much, Martin, for keeping us focused. May our Father bless you exceedingly for your care for all of us. Thank you. You have such a following now that you probably won't get to read this, but I don't care. Surely you already know how much it means to all of us scattered abroad. What a blessing the daily videos are for us. Times are hard in this world, but we are not of it. So we are blessed to rise above the mess. And every day you, a faithful brother, keep reminding us who we are. That was beautiful. Thank you for saying that. That's what I try to do. I think of my dear brothers and sisters scattered all around the earth. See, she's thinking of you. This is why I need to read this to you. Here's someone you've never heard of. She admits later here that she never comments on the YouTube videos, but here she's reaching out from Australia to write me, and I'm sharing this with you to know that there are others who never write, who just watch the videos, get the truth, and these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. I think of my dear brothers and sisters scattered all around the earth, and I can't wait to meet everyone. I pray for Nelson Howe's family. That's our brother who died recently, who was making excellent videos that are still on YouTube. Look him up, Nelson Howe, H-O-W-E. I pray for Nelson Howe's family and still gain much comfort from his YouTube presentations. I listen to Rob Weil, R-O-B-W-I-L-E. Look him up. And I love Andre Piat's blogs from Holland. I gobble up the Unsearchable Riches magazine and my Concordant Bible's dropping to pieces. I wish they would produce it on better paper. That's her, not me, but I do too. And you make us laugh, you make us cry, but above all, you encourage us because you love the truth. Every person you have on your show is in my mind now. Yeah, every person that visits me here on the Floridan Peninsula, I cajole into making a show with me. That's what she's referencing there. Precious lives to thank God for. And I remember each and every one. I may forget names, but not their lovely faces. I don't post comments on YouTube, so I thought I would just say thanks again for what you do. You're welcome. Thanks to our Lord and Savior for giving us a brother so like Paul, an encourager to keep us on track. I have recently had a growth spurt. Oh, by the way, the name of this, the subject matter here is the latest series is so edifying. That's the subject line. She's talking about this series. Speaking of our focus and our deliverance from trying to fix these bodies of flesh, looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I've recently had a growth spurt, for want of a better way of putting it, and it has been due to your persistent reminding us of who we really are. When the enemies surround us, sometimes we stumble and we feel discouraged, but then Father prompts us through your daily messages. Thank you, Martin. It is so hard without fellowship, and I know that's the cry from many of you out there, so hard without fellowship. Yet somehow we seem to get little blessings that make up for it, and the YouTube messages are certainly thankworthy indeed. Love, joy, peace through our Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God to you and all who assist you to do this work. There you go. Love from Australia. All who assist you. This woman on the other side of the world from me who was watching this show and who was together with you and me, she is thanking you. You hear her? She is thanking you for assisting me in this work. And I'm thanking you now. And I'm taking much of the videos. Some of you are out there and think, get to the scriptures. We want teaching. I have to do this every once in a while. I do this, 4 times a year, maybe? You need to know this. You need to know that it's working. It's happening. People are getting the message. It's going out. New people coming in every day. So, and it's because of you. I mean, I'm the guy on the show, but you are keeping me going. You're, and anybody who contributes to this work, I always say thank you for being a fellow laborer with me. A fellow laborer. You are. I do this show because I know you're watching and you're helping. And if anyone wants to help, I'll put a link down there. I'll put a link underneath here if you want to contribute. There's many different ways you can if you want to do it. No one is ever under compulsion. I say that. The way I put it is, I never require any contributions, but I've never turned one down either, to my knowledge. Now, in the waning moments of this show, sorry about that. No, I'm not sorry. Why am I apologizing for sharing the good news with you and for thanking you and for letting you know that you are working together with me in this cause, just like Paul said to the Corinthians in the passage I just read. Now, Romans 8, verse 22. We are aware that the entire creation is groaning and travailing together until now. The entire creation. Everything is groaning. Everything is in a convulsion of some kind. The animals. Even Charles, my little dog here, the Shih Tzu. Yeah, he's groaning and travailing. Looks like he's happy most of the time, but he's not. Of course not. He's living in Eon 3. Your pets, the birds, the wild animals, the squirrels that run across the phone wire here, they're travailing, they're groaning. They're just trying to, they're putting in their time. What, they're running around, they're running across the phone wire. I don't know why they're doing it. And they run up and down the telephone pole. They got nothing else to do. They run up the telephone pole, then across the phone line. I said, why are they doing this? Why don't they just sit in their tree? Because they're anxious. I'm not kidding you. They're anxious. Just sit still. No, the birds are flying all around. Yeah, sometimes they're looking for food. A lot of times they're looking for food. That's another humiliation. We're constantly trying to sustain these frames that are dying. But God is going to deliver us from such from a death of such proportions. Not only the death that would threaten to plant us in the ground forever, but the suffering of death, the suffering under the weight of mortality that we all do. So we're aware that the entire creation is groaning, travailing together until now. Not only so, we ourselves also have the first fruit of the Spirit. We have the first fruit. We have this news now. We have an understanding of what we're coming into, and we have an understanding of our freedom now. Even we ourselves also are groaning. Verse 23, Romans 8. We ourselves are groaning in ourselves, awaiting the sonship, the deliverance of our body. What have I been telling you? Romans 6, verse 6. The old humanity has been crucified that the body of sin may be nullified. I'm not kidding you. That's Romans 6, 6. I wouldn't kid you about something like that. Our old humanity was crucified together with him that the body of sin may be nullified. That's the only future thing we're waiting for. In Ephesians chapter 1, I think verse 3, we're told that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. We're blessed right now with every spiritual blessing. We're loaded. We're freighted. And because of this, we have peace and we have an expectation. But even so, our bodies are still going through this thing. I'm going to talk to you about that tomorrow, that our bodies are still convulsing. Our bodies are still sinning, but we're not paying attention to them because it's like if, okay, let's say your bodies are a car, okay, and you're in your body, you're driving around, and the car starts to go off a cliff. And you have a couple seconds, when you see it's happening, it's unavoidable, you have a couple seconds to adjust. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay with your car, or are you going to look at the opposing door, open it, and try to jump out of your car? Well, you're going to try to jump out of your car. The analogy is our bodies are going off the cliff. We're in these flesh buggies that are dying. Now, Paul says if you're disposed to the things of the flesh, you're about to be dying because the flesh cares about only flesh. So just that's what it does. That's what it does. And it's going to go towards the grave, and it is going toward the grave. So what are you going to do? Concentrate on it? Go down with it? I think I'll just stay in my car. I'll turn on a song. I'll turn a song on the radio. Yeah, while my car's going over the cliff. No, you're reaching for the door. You're looking for the light. You're opening the window, the window, the window. Christ is our window. Paul's evangel is the window. It's our deliverance. It's how we survive every day. So you go for the light. Go for the light. Dive for the window. Dive for the door. We're in a 911 situation. This is an emergency situation. I mean, Eon 3 in general, I feel is an emergency situation. But now, I mean, we're in the crisis point of Eon 3 and things are getting bad and terrible. And so you dive for the window. You can't pay attention to what's happening in front of you, speaking not only of the news, but of your bodies, your bodies. I'll finish with this tomorrow. I'm going to go straight into the scriptures. Paul says, yeah, the deliverance of our body. That's what we're looking forward to, the deliverance of our body. We have everything else. We're waiting for that. For to expectation were we saved. We're supposed to be expecting this. So many people say, why you keep looking for the snatching away? Why are you so obsessed? Because for expectation are we saved. We're saved so that we can expect this thing. It's not wrong to do it. In fact, it's right. Dive for the window. Look for the escape. Oh, you people are just a bunch of escapists. You just want to get the hell out of here. Yeah. Thanks for the accurate assessment. Of course we want to get the hell out of here. Who the hell wouldn't? Unless you happen to be living a Cinderella life. But besides that, I want to see Jesus Christ. I want to feel what it feels like to get rid of this mortality. If you're not jumping out the window, then you're too comfortable. You know, the Titanic looked good and felt good, you know, an hour after it struck the iceberg. Yeah, it started to tilt a little bit, but the band played on. The lights were still on for a while. It still seems safer to stay on the Titanic than to get on those rickety little lifeboats and be lowered down five stories the side of the ship into the freezing North Atlantic. Yeah, I know. But as hard as the North Atlantic is, as cold as it is, and as rickety as the lifeboats are, stay on the lifeboat. Dive for the escape. Dive for the escape. Oh, you just want to escape. Yeah, no shit. To expectation we were saved. Expectation being observed, and we don't observe it yet, is not expectation. This is so obvious. Paul states the obvious. For what anyone is observing, why is he still expecting it? Now, if we are expecting, and we are, what we are not observing, we are awaiting it with endurance. The key word for today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is endurance. In the Greek, it's a two-part word. It just means to under remain. In other words, to remain under. Endurance isn't pretty. You're not going to look good doing it. It doesn't matter. Endurance is not sugar-coated. It's raw. It's naked. It's ragged. It's remaining under. You're just remaining under it. Doesn't mean you're not groaning. Paul says you are groaning. So stop complaining that you're complaining, right? I mean, you're groaning and complaining is part of it. My God. So just cut yourself some slack. You're going to groan. You're underneath this, but you're expecting it. We're not observing it yet. Else, why would we still be expecting it? But don't let anybody put you down for expecting the return of Christ, for wanting the return of Christ, and for loving the return of Christ.